Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
Marcus Thompson joins us on the UMA guest line. Marcus, we always appreciate the time. How you doing, my man?
Oh, man, I am excellent. My wife and daughter went for a walk, and I was like, you want to come? Are you going to come on this walk with us? And it's like 7,000 degrees outside, and I was like, I mean, I would, but I got to do,
So we saved you.
My radio hit. Right?
Oh, baby, I'd love to go, but I got to talk to Tom and Rod and Larry. I would if I could, but my hands are tied.
Know what I'm saying? TKB, man. We all we got,
We're glad we could help you get out of something that you had absolutely no interest in doing.
It's a good thing she didn't go, well, I'll just wait a half an hour then.
Oh, yeah, we'll go when you're ready.
That was what was coming. I'm totally glad about that. I'm looking at the heat waves outside this ain't going to work for me.
The heat distortion coming off the street. It's like, saved by the bell. These NBA playoffs, it is clear, it is obvious that injuries, who is injured and who may end up getting injured, that's the main thing with these playoffs. Do you get a sense that the NBA is worried, or this is just the cost of doing business, with the pandemic and all that happening, or do they look at it as, what are you going to do? We still have some stars left in these playoffs, and we're probably going to get a couple, maybe even three game sevens out of these conference semis.
I don't think they're worried. I think the bigger worry is not the injuries, it's who ends up in the finals, right? This could all be just fine if it's like Brooklyn, Utah, right? You got the fervor of the small market Utah against the big bad Brooklyn. I think something like that might actually pop, Or if you got end up with L.A. Brooklyn, be like, see, it worked out just fine. Hey, you got two big markets in it. I don't know that they're worried about it that much, because if they were, we'd be hearing about, we need to do something about this schedule. Like, listen, hold on, maybe we should cut the game. But it's like, nah, we're going to run it back. See y'all in October. back to business as usual. I don't think there's any sense of that. And the truth is, if we're going to be honest about it, as terrible as it is with these injuries, this isn't new, right? We have injuries every year. Just got to go back to the 2019 finals where people were dropping like flies, right? This is an NBA problem. It's almost baked into an 82 game schedule, and then for seven game series to win a championship. Like, that's kind of part of it in an era of pace and space where everything is wide open and you move fast and you got to be able to so. If they were really worried, we'd be here to talk about 66 game season, 60 game season, or maybe we could figure out a way to shrink this, because this is a problem. You don't hear any of that. You hear, y'all going to be good by October, right? You straight, right? Hey, get your rest. Eat your Wheaties. And it's become a battle of attrition. Who can survive at the end?
But here's what I find interesting, though, is that it is thought that NBA players, especially the superstars, have power. Some people say an inordinate amount of power and sway within the league. And LeBron, going into the season where he wanted to start around MLK Day or somewhere in January, and obviously he tweeted earlier this week, a big, I told you that this was going to happen in terms of injuries because of the compressed schedule and starting so soon after last season, that the players, they seem to have power, but they seem to be powerless to do anything about it. Or are they just, is it just not that big of a concern to them? And the biggest concern is, I got to get this money, which is not the wrong thing to look at, because you're doing this to get paid, obviously. But it sure seems like the players, if they are inclined to really make us think about this, don't really have a lot of swing in this to make any meaningful changes that will ultimately benefit them.
I think they do, actually. I think they're just trying to they're talking out both sides of their mouths, right?
Okay.
And I do get it, right? Like, it's definitely easy for LeBron to be able to survive if they don't play. And there's a lot of players who need to play. I get why, in the end, they keep signing off on this stuff. But they are signing off on it. Like, where's the push from the players to shorten the season? Like, if they really want to do this, they have the power, and they could take a stand on this, but they don't. Like, with the bubble, with the All-Star game, in the end, what are they all were like, this is stupid, I don't think we should do this, but I'll see you there.
They all showed
right?
up.
Nobody's
got that,
like,
check.
Nobody's yeah. like, I'm not going, and I don't care if you find me. Or, I mean, part of the reason this is a thing is because somehow or another, the networks are saying, hey, we paid you this money. We need this, we need the content, right? We need to get out of there. I don't understand why nobody's making the case that, yo, fewer games means more exciting games. Look at the NFL model. Somebody needs to be conveying, if we shorten the supply, it will drive up demand and you will win anyway, right? Nobody's making that counter case. It's just like, yeah, we understand you're doing it for money. I feel like there's a case to be made that you could add some extra to the game. So instead of 82 games where like 50 of them are like, yeah, whatever, you shorten the season and you ramp up the excitement about the games, and now more people are into it. I don't know why the players aren't making that case. But in the end, every time, no matter what, somehow or another, the players' union is signing off on the deal. And I get why I get it. There's a lot of players up to 450 who can't just go without checks like that. But they are signing, right? They are signing off on it. So they do have to have some level of responsibility in it.
This thing's all going to change in the years ahead. The gambling money is going to come in on a huge level. The global demand for these awesome athletes is always going to be there. So that once the facilities get better globally, they're going to shorten the schedule. They're going to be on some world tour. They're going to be pulling in gambling money. It's all going to look, I think, quite a bit different. Maybe not even that far down the road. Give me your thoughts tonight, man, on these two games. I mean, to me, Ben Simmons, if you're going to be a max player, you got to play both ends. And so far, we're not seeing that. And playoff P, you know, can playoff P do it tonight with all the expectations with the home crowd when you're supposed to win? He did it the other night with no expectations. Can he do it with the expectations? I like Jazz Hawks tonight. Who do you got?
I'm going with Jazz. My concern is, number one, like, is Reggie Jackson really about to beat the number one team in the West? So that's what's happening. Like, I don't know if y'all pay attention. Reggie Jackson is killing these dudes. At some point, he's going to be Reggie Jackson, right? I don't know. If he does it, hey, I'm going to tip my cap to him. But I'm worried about the fatigue level of Paul George. He was tired at the end of that game. And it's harder to do it, you know, back-to-back game. Like, this is where Steph is nuts, right? This is where it'd be like, yeah, Steph Curry's different. Every night. Every night I'm carrying this thing. We haven't seen Paul George be that guy in a long time. Can he do it one more game? And if he does, can he do it another? Like, that is it's a tough thing. You could see him fading at the end of that game. It's a lot to ask, and I don't know. If Reggie Jackson is killing, that could take some of the load off of him, but it's just a lot, and he's been playing great. It's been valiant, but Utah is just a really good team, and I just don't see them fold. So it's only going to get harder. I'm going with Jazz to get it to a game seven, and then, like, hey, it's game seven in Utah, right? Like, how do you not go with them on that? But Philly is a different story. I don't know how they come back from this. They got to show me before I believe in them. What's the lead Philly has to have for them to not get tight? Like, how much do they have to get up where it'd be like, okay, now we finally got this, we can breathe?
Because 27.
26, you were there. I'm thinking 40.
You're probably right.
After the other night.
Yeah, right? Like, I mean, back to back-to-back games. It's unbelievable how they fell for the same trap again. And the crazy part is, like, it's Trey. They don't have an answer for Trey. If he's making his three, they're in trouble. If he's penetrating, they're in trouble. If he's dropping dimes all up, they're in trouble. They can't just let Ben Simmons lock up on him, because that means Ben Simmons got to be in the game down the stretch, which means he might end up having to shoot free throws. Like, you got to pull him off the court, right? Now you're banking on Matisse Thybul, and it's like, I don't know that they won't get tight. And we've watched him be talking all his head to Clint Capella, and I get it. Clint Capella is like a dartboard for trash talk, right? You just, like, you see it, you just want to throw the darts just because it looks like, well, I'm going to hit that little Kwame patch, right? I understand why you want to talk all his head to Clint Capella, but you can't do it two games in a row and fade at the end like he has. You just can't. Like, Clint Capella standing at the end? Like, come on, man. So, I think this team gave up the ghost. I don't believe they got it. And I won't believe it until they show me, because Trey is a dog and he's coming for him.
Nah, I agree. I don't know. I was going to say up 25, 30 seconds left, and Atlanta's out of timeouts. Then I would feel good. Then I'd feel safe at that point. Figure they're not going to come get me.
You said 30 seconds left? Like, not 32, though. That's scary. Huh? Like,
yeah, 30 seconds left. Yeah, not. I don't want to put a minute on there. You never know what these. I mean, these. They were. I couldn't believe it, Marcus. That Embiid and Seth were the only two Sixers to score buckets after halftime. I couldn't believe it when I read it. That made no sense to me. Two guys had field goals after halftime. The rest of the guys, nada.
That's
I still don't
believe
it, but I heard it from the Enquirer and StatMuse, so I'll believe it, but I don't believe it. What do you make of the Bucks and the Nets? Because it's funny, we talked about Middleton, I think last time we were on here, maybe it's 2 weeks ago. It's like last night was a great game for him because he let the game come to him. He wasn't going out searching the game. It just came to him. He got his shots off drawing kicks. He did his thing. Some penetrations, got to feeling good, shooting some pull-up threes. And he had a big game on 16 shots. Like, the games where he comes out firing, he's shooting 23, 24, 25 times. He had one good game when he shot it 25 times. But that's the key to me, is let Giannis do his thing. Drew's got to start hitting a few shots. I mean, good night. He couldn't make a three to save his life last game. Good thing he had the penetration game going. But Middleton's the key to this whole thing. And if he doesn't force it, then they're in great shape. If he comes out thinking he's going to be the guy to get 20, 22 shots, then they might be in trouble.
Believe it or not, I think a part of that has to do with Giannis. I mean, Giannis didn't take any threes.
Yep.
I feel like
exactly. He took 10 shots
like
in the restricted area.
Right? I feel like Middleton can be patient and wait for the game to come to him when Giannis is not out here trying to be Kobe. Because yeah. Then it's like, all right, now I got to bail us out. Let's make this play. I hope he's not – You know how Tom, when that dude who really isn't that guy, he gets that moment where he's that guy, and it's almost good for you because he's going to think he can do that again.
Yep.
It's almost like, you know, I make two threes in a row, all of a sudden, like, I'm Steph Curry. So the worst thing that could happen to me is for me to make the first two. You know what I mean? I hope he's not that guy who's like, yo, I kind of just outduel KD. Give me the ball next game. Right? Like, if he does – If he turns into that guy, it's trouble, right? But
man,
there's something about the way Giannis was like, I'm not going to settle. I'm going to be smart about this. And it allowed everybody else to do their thing. The only person who was tripping was Drew, who was 7 for 11 inside the arc and 1 for 10 outside.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't even know I don't know what he's doing. This is not even Drew. This is not who Drew is. I don't know what he's doing. It's something about the offense. But, like, 7 of those threes were step backs. Like, dude, would you calm down and take – Harden's got to be, like, 250 right now. And you know Fat Meat Greasy, so he ain't doing that much running.
No,
like,
not at all.
What are you doing taking step backs on this dude for? Like, dry. And every time he drove, it works. Like, you get to the rim. So
yeah.
Something was weird happening. This is the great part about Milwaukee, and also the part that makes you think they'll never do it. Have you ever seen all three of them together playing well?
Yeah.
I don't even know
nope.
if it's possible. If it ever happens, they'll win a championship. But I don't know if it can. Like, one of them goes cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs every game, and it's like, can y'all just get it together? Can y'all get it together? I don't understand. Like, but Middleton was great. Watch what's gonna happen next time. Middleton's like, man, I had 38, KD had 30. I told y'all I was better than him. Give me the ball, and that's
give me the ball.
Watch.
It's so funny because I know what step backs you're talking about, where he's like dribbling left wing. And then all of a sudden, instead of going baseline all the way to the hoop, he likes to take a huge step back to the left corner. And as he's shooting it, he's drifting out of bounds. I'm like, what makes you think you can hit that shot?
Like,
you're one for seven.
Why are you doing this? Right. Like, when did this happen?
Hey,
brother.
Marcus, a couple quick thoughts on the Warriors. I saw that, you know, there's some speculation here that Ron Adams is, you know, going to kind of take a more prominent role than we've seen the last couple years. That he may get, I was reading your stuff. You're saying he may get in the mix more. I'm not sure how you define that. And also, give me your thoughts on that. And also, if you were Bob Myers and Philly called today offering Ben Simmons for Wiggins, you make that trade?
Would I make the trade? I probably would, but I don't think Bob Myers will.
You would, though. You would make that trade.
I mean, yeah, I do. I think right now is a great time to jump on the Ben bandwagon. Like, it's going to be like two months ago. Can you get him for just Wiggins straight up? No. I mean, you think Daryl Morey would do the Harden thing again? Like, now Harden would be too much. Like, hold on. We got Kevin Porter Jr. and we'll give you right. And Steve Silas, like, for Ben Simmons, but no more than that. Right. Like, his value is so low that I feel like now might be the time to do it. I wonder if Steph and Clay can get him out of this headspace. It's clearly a head thing. His form isn't terrible, and he doesn't even attempt a three. Like, there's a mental block there. Something's there. I wonder if being around Steph and Clay will help with that, especially from the spacing standpoint. Like, him and Embiid needing to be in the paint, and Embiid having to be the guy to step out, it's not going to work in crunch time. They've proven this, right? Trey is getting to the cup, and he's trying to get to the free throw line, and Embiid is, like, having to play outside because Ben can only function in the paint. So I wonder if you got these shooters, if it helps, but I don't think the Warriors would do it. The question is Draymond. You put Ben on the court, you put Draymond on the court, now you got two guys who the defense doesn't have to worry about shooting. So right. that's just kind of anti-Warriors. But Draymond's coming back. He's going to shoot 38% from three next year. Like, so I'm booking that. That means that'll be – y'all think I'm playing? Draymond, book it. Write it down. Draymond, 38% from –
No, you could. Oh, you couldn't sell it, huh? Couldn't do it. Couldn't hang on.
He couldn't even sell it to himself.
35. Big leap. Like, right. I need to be like 30. Can you get to 33? Draymond, 33% shooting from three. I don't know if that's enough to solve the problem, but I don't know. I just wonder if sometimes we give up on players too much and we never know what they can be. And maybe that's because I just watched Andrew Wiggins kind of resuscitate his whole career. Right. And like, I do feel like there's a part of Ron Adams who maybe wants to get back into the mix, but they just got to figure out how, you know, health is a concern, like what he wants to do is a concern, but clearly, you know, they're doing this reshuffling thing with the bench, you know, Luke Locks and Jaren Collins, and they're bringing in the Serbian Barkley. So, you know, Ron Adams is a voice that matters. So it'd be in the mix. So all this stuff, I'm starting wondering, but if you do bring in like a Ben Simmons or a guy like a Pascal Siakam who had his struggles this year, you're kind of banking on being able to do again what you did with Wiggins anyway, because that's the only way you're going to get somebody good enough to uplift you without giving up steps.
Right.
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 You got to basically get a dude with a flaw and say, well, if he's around us, we'll be able to fix. So if that's the mindset, why not Ben? Man, give Brandon Payne 2 months with Ben Simmons. He'll be shooting 38% from three. Right next to Draymond.
Back on that, huh?
Oh, man. I want Marcus selling me a car. Look, great car, Tom. Gets 30 miles a gallon.
It doesn't run now, but it will.
It's actually about 22. That's about 13. It's really not that good a car, to be honest with you. Just give me a 1,000 for it, and we'll call it even. What do you say?
Why are you pulling my arm, man? Come on.
I got a family to feed. Come on.
Oh, man. What do you think the Olympic team's going to end up looking like? I think we got four guys now that have committed, but what do you think it looks like? LeBron said he's not playing. I don't know if Steph said anything as of yet, but I know there's a couple other guys. Nope. I know Jokic said he hadn't planned for his national team. He's done. So what are the Olympics going to look like, and what do you think the USA team will end up looking like? I mean, what stars do you think will probably just say, nah, I'm good this year?
You know what's interesting? Like, it's usually that one guy who kind of needs to go, and everybody says, all right, we doing this. Let's do it, right? And it was like a LeBron, or before, remember, it was Kobe. Kobe's in. All right, we let's do it. And before, when it was like Stephon Marbury, we're like, nah, we good. Like, remember the third place team?
Yeah.
Here's what's interesting to me. I think Steph will be that dude now. I think if Steph plays, a lot of people will be like, all right, why are we doing this? And if Steph doesn't, I mean, yeah, what are we doing, right? I don't think it'll be bad. I do think you'll get some really good players. I do think they'll obviously win. I think we can't miss the need and the opportunity for players after a pandemic to be thinking about brands and opportunities again and kind of restarting a lot of that stuff. You haven't been able to do any of this stuff. And what bigger stage than the Olympics, right? So it is an opportunity. Like, if you're Steph, you just launched Curry Brand. The reason you probably haven't heard him say anything, because he's got to be thinking, like, I want to go to Tokyo with my new brand, and I haven't been able to do much of this stuff because of the pandemic. Like, give me the advantages of being able to do that. And you kind of got to work this stuff out. Like, guys like Draymond, he going to always see the business opportunity. Like, what? Me in Tokyo, let's get it, right? Draymond not missing it. But some players like Steph who got some options, like, you can't just throw it out the way because they just haven't been able to do it this long. You know what I'm saying? But yep. Steph's difficulty is he also has the contract extension he's got to figure out, right? But I do feel like if Steph goes – it's like, all right, it's lit. USA, we rocking. And if he doesn't, it's like, okay, I don't want to say B-team to demean these guys at all, but I think it will dissuade some other guys from going, right? Like, it's the top guy that usually goes, and everybody's like, all right, we rolling. Let's rock. So I want to see if Steph is that guy this year.
We got five pretty good guys right now, though. I mean, Booker, Beal, Draymond, Tatum, and Lillard are all committed.
Yeah, Lillard might be – like, who's Lillard. The star? Like, who's a star of that team? It's got to be Lillard right now, right? Or maybe Book, if Book balls out in the finals and win a championship. You need a Kobe. You need a LeBron. So you need the one dude, right? And that's – I feel like that's the draw of Team USA. Who was it before? Was Kevin Durant? When was the last one? 2016?
No, the team – well, it was Brook Lopez and Chris Middleton and Kemba, wasn't it? It was like one of the weakest teams we ever had. The 2019 roster.
The
2016. KD play, right? That's where KD and Kyrie became like buddies.
Yeah,
and, you know,
yeah.
Draymond, Harrison, Barnes was on that team. Did LeBron play that year? I don't remember if LeBron played.
I don't think he
I think KD
that.
Was the superstar of that team.
Yeah.
The guys who have declined right now so far are LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Jimmy Butler. But, you know, we still don't know about some, you know, decent American players. I mean, like guys like who are still going right now, like Drew Holiday, Zach LaVine. I mean, is Zion going to play? He's on the list of guys who could play Bam Adebayo, Christian Wood.
When Jimmy Butler said he declined, I was like, that's kind of like LSU saying we're not going to a bowl game when they're 3-5. I was like, what do you mean?
I was wondering about that. Like,
you might not even have made it.
Yeah. No lies detected.
That is interesting, right? Like, whoa.
Pop was like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, whatever. Moving on.
Like, we didn't ask you, buddy.
way to inject yourself into this conversation.
Yeah, he just throwing it out there so people think he was going to be on the team. Yo, man, I'm declining. I'm not going to go this year. Nobody even asked, like, were you going to make it? I didn't know you were going to make it.
Hey, yo man. Next year, before they announce the Pulitzer, I'm doing that. I'm declining my Pulitzer Prize. Don't give it to me. No.
Yeah. If I am nominated, I will not accept the presidency of the
Decline your Marconi like today. Yeah.
All right, Marcus.
30 years ago, I declined a date with Cindy Crawford. It worked out perfectly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Smart move by you, man.
Not going to do it.
Yeah.
Not going to do it.
I heard she's not a nice person. We'll talk to you next week, Marcus.
Damn it.
Hold on.
What's that?
Hold on. My wife is texting me about how hot she is. Oh, it's so hot out here. We're dying.
Be empathetic.
PKB, I'm going to have the water waiting for her when she gets back. Water and towel.
There you go.
That's some good husbanding right there, my friend. Good job.
Man, let's get it.
Have a good weekend, Marcus.
Show empathy.
Take care, Marcus.
Have a good one.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.